Elliot Forrest here for Leonard Lopate. Since the birth of the first baby conceived through in vitro fertilization 32 years ago, the use of IVF has become commonplace in the United States and in Europe. An estimated 250,000 babies conceived through in vitro are born each year. And over the past decade, the demand for human eggs has grown exponentially. For this week's first underreported segment, Scott Carney, contributing writer for Wired magazine, looks into the growing human egg trade. His article, Unpacking the Global Human Egg Trade, appears in the September issue of Fast Company. Scott, thanks for joining me.
Hi, Elliot. Thanks for having me on.
You write that Cyprus has more fertility clinics per capita than any other country. What makes in vitro such a popular procedure there?
Well, the deep roots in Cyprus, I'm a little hazy on. I do know that Cyprus has a above average incidence of a rare blood disorder called thalassemia, and that's something that can be cured in an IVF lab before the child is conceived. What happened probably in the 80s and 90s is that these clinics started appearing in Cyprus to treat thalassemia, and then, once there were enough clinics, they had to look for other ways to make money. And Cyprus, which is a country which is mostly makes its cash on shipping, did what any, you know, as you know, with shipping, there's a legal murky world where you're never quite sure what's happening and there's lots of laws that get skirted. And that seemed to work really well for IVF because the laws around IVF around Europe and in the United States are also very murky and often very restrictive. And Cyprus became a destination spot for people who wanted to skirt legal regulations in other countries. And now they're flying there to get donor eggs.
So how many women and couples actually travel from around the world to get in vitro fertilization treatment there?
In Cyprus, the best estimates I was able to come by say that there's about 1,500 egg cycles performed in Cyprus every year. Now, it doesn't sound like a whole lot, but when you consider that there's only 800,000 people on the entire island of Cyprus, it's quite large. And, you know, if you compare it to New York, which has 34 in vitro clinics and a population of 12 million, versus the 24 in Cyprus, you can see that just per capita, it's huge. And by my back of the envelope estimates, looking at the number of eligible women, it's about 1 in 50 donate their eggs in Cyprus, while in the United States, the number is closer to 1 in 14,000.
How does the licensing requirements for these procedures differ from Cyprus, say, to the United States or maybe Western countries?
Well, Cyprus is bound by is a member of the European Union, so it's bound broadly by European health conventions. So they need to, and the standards there are sort of accepted pretty widely. However, within the guidelines issued by the EU, they're given a great deal of leeway to interpret the laws as they will. So they're quite liberal in how they deal with donor eggs and how they deal with IVF. Now, if you look at a country like the United Kingdom, it's totally illegal to give any money for a donor egg in the UK. And also, if you do donate, you're not anonymous. That means the child who is eventually conceived can track down the original donor. I think it's when they reach 16 or 18. In Cyprus, there's no all donations are anonymous. And there is some payment that's allowed to donors. So
who is that? Who are actually going to donate their eggs then in Cyprus?
Well, Cyprus is what I went to investigate was an international trade that has begun, because Cyprus has a really small population, as I said, 800,000. They have a large number of clinics. So what's happening is they're running out of businesses on the island, and they've begun to import donors from Eastern Europe.
Do they actually advertise for it?
They actually are. There are advertisements in Ukraine and in Moscow and Romania for women to donate it, and then they learn that they're flying into Cyprus to actually have the procedure done.
So Russians and Ukrainians primarily are traveling to Cyprus to donate these eggs.
Yes, that's right.
People might be having lunch, but nonetheless, tell me what's involved with harvesting the eggs. How difficult a procedure is it? How risky?
Well, it requires about 2 weeks of hormone treatments given to sort of the egg donor. And once her cycle is synchronized with the egg cycles of the woman who will receive the eggs, then there's a surgical operation where they're actually removed. And then it's usually under general anesthesia. And then the eggs get prepared in the lab, synced up with some sperm, and then implanted into the receiving woman.
You mentioned earlier that women who donate these eggs are not compensated. You said in the UK?
Yeah, in the United Kingdom, actually most of Europe, you're not allowed to pay for human material. I mean, this is a something that's standard right across the world, is that you're not supposed to pay for a kidney, you're not supposed to pay for blood or corneas or eggs. So in much of the world, no money is allowed. And in Cyprus, it has this they have this rule that says we can't pay women, but we can compensate them.
What's the difference?
Well, really, there's none. I mean, when you're giving money to a person, I see that as payment. But what it ends up being is that they say compensation is just not paying as much as you might if you were actually paying them for their services. So the payments top out at about between $1,000 and $1,500 on the island, which is enough to attract, you know, women from Eastern Europe who come from, you know, disadvantaged economies to offer up their eggs, or immigrants who already live in Cyprus.
What do people actually know about the donor, the families and the women who end up going to Cyprus for these eggs? Is it a highly selective process?
Well, in Europe, in the United States, the way egg donation works is that it's sort of like you're on Match.com, and you sort of almost date a donor. You look through different profiles, and you match up their looks and their height and their educational background, and you sort of match the exact product that you want to get implanted into your womb. And so the idea of anonymity is much lower in the States. In Europe, the standard is that the doctor just chooses which egg you get. And they say, you know, it's based mostly on phenotype, you know, if they how much they look like you. And that's the method there. So there's sort of a cultural difference with how they're conducted between the two nations. And in the States, since it's more commercial in the States, and because you're selecting particular attributes, the price of eggs varies quite widely. I mean, the average payment to a donor in the States is about $8,000, but it can vary as much as $50,000 or even $100,000 for the right set of eggs. And as you might imagine, the eggs that are worth more money are from white, Ivy League educated women who are, you know, maybe athletic and really pretty. That might get you $50,000 or $100,000. But for a woman without an advanced degree, a racial minority, might find that they're getting significantly less on the market for their eggs.
Talk to me about Spain for a moment, too. Let's move from Cyprus. It's also a destination for those seeking fertility treatments. Why?
Well, Spain is a much older market for fertility. There's some really foundational scientists there who pioneered IVF. And they also have quite loose regulations. You know, it's Spain and Cyprus, which are really the destination for about 25,000 to 30,000 Europeans who travel across borders to get treatment. And when you look at Cyprus, you see these tiny little IVF clinics that are, you know, maybe 10,000 square feet at most, whereas the IVF clinics in Spain are huge brick and mortar institutions that really command millions and millions of dollars, and they have a much higher volume of traffic. What you see from donors there is that it's mostly students who give their eggs, and a lot of those students are illegal immigrants. Either they're at university but aren't allowed to work and have no other way to make money, so they are donating their eggs, or they're just straight people from Argentina or Chile who don't have work for yet. And as you know, Spain has a huge unemployment rate right now. It's 20%. So selling eggs is sort of an immigrant thing sort of to do in Spain, and it works very well for the clinics there.
You're breaking up just a little bit. We're going to stick with you for just a moment. Let me just ask you about there seems to be some ethical problems with some of this. Is there a body or anyone calling these countries on this, or is everybody just up to being on their own?
No, and that's, I think, one of the major problems. As we've seen with all sorts of health tourism, there are no global regulating bodies. So it's very easy to go between borders. If your country has a law banning a particular procedure, you can just get a plane ticket to circumvent those laws. And what this does is it creates an open marketplace for absolutely any sort of transaction to happen. Now, in Cyprus, we've had clinics shut down because they were basically accused of trafficking women into selling their eggs illegally. But because these clinics and these procedures have become so international, it's almost impossible to police. Now, there have been deaths associated with this. Donating an egg is not a safe procedure. About 5% of women have a condition called stimulation syndrome. A smaller percentage of those women, it can actually lead to death. So what is happening is that we're in addition to saying that I will pay less money for going abroad, you'll also find that you're able to transfer the dangers of IVF to poor women. And I think this is very, very problematic.
You spoke with a man named David Scherer. He has a company in Switzerland. Tell us about that.
Well, he has a company incorporated in Switzerland. He actually lives in Arizona and has offices in Canada and Switzerland, I believe the UK, in Spain, and really all over the world. What he does is he's an international IVF baby maker. You could call him an egg broker if you were not so charitable. And what he does is he looks across the legal systems in different countries to give you a baby made to order. Whatever you want, whatever sort of procedure you want, he can find a way to make it happen legally because with the power of an air ticket. So you get some very weird combinations with him. I mean, he can get you sex selective procedures, which are usually illegal, fairly easily. He also will create children that have no real cognate words in the English language. Now, I followed the story of two Israeli patients who are gay, living in Tel Aviv, and they wanted to have a child. But because of the laws in Israel, they're not allowed to hire surrogate, and egg donation is very, very difficult in Israel. So what they did is they flew to Mexico, hired an egg donor there through David, an elite IVF. They both fertilized the eggs with their sperm and implanted the embryos that were created into the womb of a surrogate mother. The surrogate mother, who got pregnant in Mexico, was then flown to California, and the twins were delivered as American citizens earlier this year. Now, the fascinating thing about these children is that they're both fraternal twins, and they're half siblings. So it's an entirely new relationship.
Wow.
And it was only made possible also through jumping through different jurisdictions. Now, there's not really a problem with that, but we're not considering what all this means yet. We're just jumping ahead through the technology without really identifying what's going on and what are the possible problems that might arise as we proceed.
Scott Carney, contributing writer for Wired magazine. He's been looking into the growing human egg trade business. His article, Unpacking the Global Human Egg Trade, is linked on our website at WNYC.org. Scott, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.